We preach the sermon of our life by how we live. This is the thought for today from Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. We preach the sermon of our life by how we live. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you live? How do you express yourself? Are you someone who can be tantalized and taunted and driven by the emotions of others, the experiences of others? Or do you stand like a rock, like a pillar, like a wonderful, solid person who knows who you are and what you are? No. It makes a big difference, because a lot of people, they think they're solid, and they think they're a rock, and they think that they're standing for their purposes, but they're really not. I would say many people, now I don't like to say the majority, because that's not really true, because the majority of people on earth live a pretty healthy life, because they do live by what they believe, you know. But many people pretend that they live what they believe, and what they're really doing is living according to what other people want them to do. Mm-hmm. They're living by what other people say they should do, like their mothers and their fathers, their sisters and brothers, their aunts and uncles and cousins and teachers and ministers and whoever else is in their world. These people have given them great understanding and wisdom and suggested to them ways of living their lives which are very noble and very beautiful, but it's not their own. Until you can take what teaching you are given from others and make it yours, the teaching is useless. Because you're merely living up to somebody else's standards that you haven't set for yourself, and you don't know how to do it. You don't know how to do it. And the reason you don't know how to do it is because it's not your own. Once you have made it your own, people say, well, Dr. Barley said this, and well, Ernest Holmes said this, and Charles Fillmore said this, and things like that. And that's garbage. What do you say? Is that what you say with what they're saying? Then live it and have fun. But if what they say is something just nice and beautiful and worthwhile, but you don't live it yourself, then it's not yours. It's not what you believe. It's not your conviction for life. So we each preach the sermon of our life by how we live. Now, how are you living? Are you picky? Are you looking at the faults of others? Are you looking at faults in yourself? Are you looking for a world that is filled with normal experiences? You have to have a cold in the cold season, you have to have flu, you have to have problems, you have to eat at mealtime, you have to go to the bathroom because your body says go to the bathroom. But what if you're on a bus and you can't go? You learn to control it, don't you? You should always be in control. You have your body function for your purposes, not anybody else's. Like in the Bible, they said that the Sabbath was made for man, not for God. The Sabbath was made for man. And the church is made for man, and life is made for man, and everything is made for man. And now, what are we doing with it? Are we making it into a joyous, wonderful experience, or are we making it into something that is a travesty on what man means? Now, there are books that have been written on man's inhumanity to man. Now, these books are very fantastic and very interestingly done, but if you will read the thread in there, every person who believed in what they believed, even though man's inhumanity to man was playing heavily upon them, they stood up as a beautiful, noble being, even while they're, so to speak, being shot down. Even while they were required in prison camps to do things, even while they were required to suffer under the slings and arrows of misfortune, of life cast upon them, they think, they just stood up perfectly. They had the right attitude. So you see, we preach the sermon of our life by how we live. What is our attitude? What is our attitude about who we are and what we are and where we're going and what we want to do? Now people say, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Okay. Cut, cut, cut. Let's look at a ballerina. You've seen stories about the ballerinas. And they work, and they work, and they work. And you think, oh my gosh, they're going to get into trouble. They're going to have problems. Here they are running around half naked on the stage with all these other people. And then they have affairs with them, surely. And they do this, and they do that. Bull roar. They're working. They're working. They don't even think about sex. They don't even think about, they might, some do. But the majority who really want to get someplace, they keep their mind so one-pointed on what they want to do. They keep their activities so one-pointed on what they want to do. We preach a sermon of our life by how we live. They want to be the ballerina. They want to be the star of the show. They want to be the best. And they know that to be the best, they must involve themselves 100% in what they're doing. And they do it. And you don't know that. You don't know that at all, because that's not what shows up on stage. What shows up on stage is the final analysis, is the finished product. But you don't know how they struggle in their apartments or their houses or wherever they're living, and they do their arabesques, they do the stretches, they do all of these things, hour after hour after hour, making their body so in tune with their heart and their soul and the music, that when they get on stage, they are just the music personified. You see, to be great in anything takes a great deal of attention to it. Now, you say, I want to be a spiritual master. You can be a spiritual master. Have you even mastered your physical self? Have you mastered your habits of eating? Have you mastered your habits of sleeping? Have you mastered your habits of working? Have you mastered your habits of attitude toward yourself or toward others? I mean, those are the simple things. Those are the things that you can see and you can touch. Now, try to master your spiritual habit. How do you do that? What is that? We don't know. But we do know that when we master our physical habits, when we are master of the person that we appear to be to the world, then we are well on our way to mastering our spiritual awareness. Now, our spiritual awareness only comes when we like ourselves. Our spiritual awareness only comes when we are harmonious with what our creative cause is, who we think we are. Why are you here? Why are you on earth? What's the reason for you there? I mean, was it a mistake? It sure must have been a mistake, the way some people live their lives, you know. They live in so much horror and so much terror. And why, let's just take this for an example. Why do some people want to be a mercenary? You know what a mercenary is? Mm-hmm. That's a person who is hired to fight in a war for a country. Now, why would anybody want to do that? That's like enlisting in the army, you know. Why would anyone want to enlist in the army? Well, because these people have a need to be disciplined. And they know that the army will really discipline them. And they know that going to war, they have to be disciplined. They must do what their sergeant or general or whoever it is that gives them orders, they must follow those orders. If they don't follow those orders, they're not in that army. Or they're dead. And most likely they're dead. Because there's a lot of people who don't follow orders in service, and all of a sudden they're mysteriously shot. A sniper shot or something like that has gotten them. Because the service won't put up with that. It cannot afford to. If it has one weak link in its chain, then it is not successful. Now you cannot put up with anything like that either. Because if there's one weak link in your attitude about yourself, you won't be successful. If you do not follow the program that you set up for yourself, whatever it may be, and you say, well, I am going to practice this music every day and I'm going to spend a half an hour on it and do it. Well, you know, if you did that in no time at all, you'd be quite good. But there are things to distract you. There are things to take. Would you stop practicing? I want to talk on the telephone, you know. And so then you stop. Would you stop? And you see, every little distraction you allowed for it. If you really were dedicated, you'd get up early in the morning and go out and walk and sing your heart out or do whatever you're doing. Of course, you can't take a piano along on a walk. So that makes it a little more difficult. or whatever else. But the thing is, or your tuba. Get ready, walking down the street, poop in your tuba. The neighbors might say, what is this? I thought cat cowling was bad enough, but the tuba cowling is worse. So, what is your desire, though? If you really want to practice your tuba, you would work permission from the church for permission to go in one of their rooms and practice, or you would go to school and you'd stay after school and practice in the practice room. They have practicing rooms. Or you would go to some music academy where they have practice rooms, and there are always rooms for rent. But did you know? You can rent a room to produce your own video, to produce your own music album, or anything else like that. They're for rent. We've seen them. And they're soundproofed, and they're wonderful. And you go down, you pay so much an hour, and you can have that room. And all the materials that are in it, the microphones and stuff like that you can use, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can put on your own show. And in perfect controlled atmosphere, perfect controlled sound, but also with good equipment, with rather beautiful equipment. So if you want to do something, you can really do it. You see, our life is an example of what we really believe about ourselves. We outpicture in our life just who we are. Now, there are a lot of people who have a very serene countenance. Outpicturing.
Yeah.
Aufstrahlung. They have a very serene countenance, but it is because nothing's going on inside. You know? Some people have beautiful complexion. You say, my God, what a lovely complexion you have, you know. And then you find out that that person is empty. They have nothing. And then they say about some people with their smile lines, you know, the smile lines are an indication of the of their laughter and of their joy in life. And others you say, no, you know, when there's no smile lines, that's better. I know one woman that we all know who is very prominent, and she's had a number of facelifts. And she has had so many facelifts that now she looks like a scared cat, you know, a scared rabbit. Her eyes are bulging out, you know, and her face is taut, and she has no wrinkles, she has no nothing, but she looks like almost a blouse, you know, the little miniature pincher, because his eyes stand out from his head, and you know, he has no wrinkles, because his eyes don't affect his face. But we preach by our life how we live. We preach the sermon of our life by how we live. Now, how do you live? How do you act toward yourself and toward others? What do you expect toward life? Well, all I can say is anybody who comes to me and says one thing and acts in a different way, I have to merely presume that their actions speak louder than words. And the actions that they do are actions which are contrary to what they say they want to do. I'm willing to work with anybody on virtually anything and help them very, very seriously, except when they prove by their actions that they really are not sincere, then I just let them be. And when I let them be, it hurts. It hurts because I work very seriously with people. I work very lovingly with people. But when people decide that they're putting me on, it's not for long. So you cannot put the world on, not for long. Because the world is aware and awake and alert to exactly who we really are. So people may say, I like you. But the test comes in this little thing. 50% of the marriages in the United States bust up. Over 50. Around the world, 90% of the marriages would bust up if they could do it. Why is it the marriages bust up? Well, we preach the sermon of our life by how we live. To get a wife, to get a husband, we act so sweet and so loving and so desirable. And the moment we've got the news on, man or woman, And the moment where we close the door and say, you're mine, the love is over, the relationship is over. Very few people can live together and say, I am me and she is she. We each are doing our own thing and we're enjoying each other's company. We enjoy sharing a home together. We have mutual interests and things like that. But if I want to go away for a month, I say, sweetheart, see you in a month. And she does not ask where I'm going. Or if she wants to take off for Paris for a year, I say, wow, have fun. Sounds great. I don't possess them. I don't own them. And I don't want to be owned. But you see, because the majority of the world in the marriage camp feel that they own their partner, they own partner, see, they own their spouse. The reason that they own their spouse is because that's what they're taught. And then they try to put the noose on, and they try to put the halter on, and they try to put the saddle on, and then there's a lot of bucking and kicking, and a lot of exchanging of vows. Because then they go out and they look for somebody beautiful to marry, and they pick the same type of person because they haven't learned that it's them that makes the difference. Yeah. So we each preach the sermon of our life by how we live. How do you live? Are you a happy, contented, fulfilled person? Or are you a person that has children who have problems? Do you have dogs who have problems? Do you have relatives who have problems? Do you have a world at war? Do you have a lot of other silly, interesting things going on? And if you say yes to any of them, well, go sleep somewhere else. Go find somewhere else to live. But if you say, all is in divine order. If you say, I live in my eternally perfect ideal of spirit, mind, body, and everybody who looks at me says, you're whole and perfect. You see, when you say these things, you're putting causes in motion and you're having beautiful results. We preach the sermon of our life by how we live. And I'm a very happy guy. How about you? I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.